You must realize the power you hold in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul. Today is not an accident. Today is a gift. Yesterday was not guaranteed, and tomorrow is not owed. All we have is today. You can't rewrite this moment, this hour, this day. This day is rare. It won't ever happen again. It can't be repeated. You have this power. You are fortunate enough to be here now. And when you realize this power, when you see that you have agency over this one life, over your decisions, your perceptions, your attitude, you begin to walk with power. Not arrogance, not aggression, but inner strength, silent, grounded, unshakable. This is the ultimate realization that some people discover too late in life. When we are younger, it is much harder to see. We take our time for granted. We take health, love, and opportunity for granted. But eventually, life offers us moments of reflection. We all become open to this wisdom. We just need to be reminded. This is your reminder. Take this wisdom. Make it your power. Walk with confidence. Speak with conviction. Live fully. Don't hold grudges or resentment. They are like drinking poison and expecting the other person to suffer. If you feel those emotions, process them. Don't bury them, but do not let them take residence in your heart. Remind yourself to let it go, because life is short and you have your power right now. The pain, the anger, the frustration, none of it will matter eventually. Marcus Aurelius said, "Receive without conceit, release without struggle." Life moves, life flows, nothing is static. The issues that trigger you, the fear that grabs you, the wounds that still ache, these are temporary. The good, the bad, the ugly, none of it lasts. And this is not a curse, this is a gift. This is what gives life its value. This is what builds your character. As Marcus also said, the memory of everything is very soon overwhelmed in time. And perhaps most importantly, we live only now. Everything else is either past or is unknown. So what do we do with this now? We walk with power. Chapter 1. The Foundation of Power. Control what you can. The Stoics taught us one of the most essential truths of life. Some things are in our control and some are not. Epictetus begins his Enchiridion with this idea because it is the cornerstone of a powerful life. The moment you internalize this is the moment you stop wasting energy. You stop trying to bend reality to your will and instead start directing your will where it matters, your thoughts, your actions, your character. True power begins here, not with brute force, not with loudness, but with clarity. When you no longer obsess over what you cannot control, you free yourself from suffering. When you focus on your responses instead of the outcomes, you become a master of yourself. A powerful individual is not someone who never feels anger or fear or doubt. A powerful individual is someone who sees those emotions rise, acknowledges them, and decides what to do next, consciously. This kind of discipline is not built overnight. It's a muscle, and like any muscle, it must be exercised daily, deliberately, and with awareness. It begins in the small moments, the seemingly trivial decisions that shape the habits of our mind. In your conversations, in your thoughts, in your conflicts, pause, breathe, return to yourself. Ask, is this within my control? If the answer is no, release it. Do not argue with the sky or demand the river flow backward. If the answer is yes, then own it. Take responsibility not just as a burden, but as a privilege. True inner strength is born when you choose to remain grounded instead of reactive, when you refuse to be pulled by the chaos of the world. The more you practice this, the more you begin to understand your power, not in controlling events, but in mastering your response to them. This is where most people stumble, again and again. They exhaust themselves trying to change people, trying to fix outcomes, trying to wrestle life into submission. They obsess over things they were never meant to carry, becoming weighed down by burdens that don't belong to them. They believe if they can control the chaos around them, they can find peace. But peace doesn't come from taming the storm, it comes from anchoring the self. They seek power in the external, in status, validation, outcomes, appearances, and inevitably, they are disappointed. But the Stoic doesn't seek that path. The Stoic shifts the battlefield inward. The Stoic recognizes that the only realm where lasting power resides is within. The Stoic wants control over themselves, their tongue, their impulses, their reactions, their story. They focus on governing their desires, curbing their ego, choosing integrity over ego, stillness over urgency. In that kind of mastery, they find real strength. The kind that doesn't rise and fall with external tides. The kind that doesn't crumble under pressure. The kind that doesn't need applause to feel secure. The Stoic stands still while others panic. While crowds rush to judgment, while the noise of the world screams for attention, they remain composed. Their calm is not the result of ignorance, but of immense self-awareness. They have trained their mind to remain anchored even in the fiercest storms. They endure the whirlwind without being tossed by it, not because they are numb, but because they are rooted in something deeper, principle, reason, and a quiet understanding that chaos is not new and peace is always internal. They stay rooted in principle even when it's uncomfortable, especially when it's inconvenient. While others abandon their values when tested, the Stoic clings tighter to them. They walk with quiet power, not because they dominate others or seek control, but because they have dominion over themselves. Their emotions do not rule them, their ego does not blind them, and their pride does not dictate their decisions. Their authority comes from within, a strength not based on appearance, but essence. This kind of strength does not flare up with pride, nor fade in hardship. It doesn't depend on circumstances or require validation. It grows stronger when ignored, more solid when tested. It is the kind of power that doesn't raise its voice to be heard, because its presence alone demands respect. It is the kind that doesn't waver when the world does. The kind that bends but does not break. The kind that stands when everything else falls, and when the dust settles, it is still there, unmoved, intact, whole. It is the power of true resilience, born from discipline, forged through adversity, and sharpened by daily practice. At the beginning of each day, write down three things: what is in your control today, what is not, and how will you respond with strength and composure no matter what happens. Repeat this every morning. Watch how your clarity sharpens and your peace deepens. Chapter 2. Walking with Inner Stability. Powerful people are not easily shaken. Their power is not loud. It is stable. Think of a tree that stands firm in the wind. It doesn't avoid the storm. It is rooted so deeply that it can sway without breaking. That's how you must learn to live. That's what walking with power truly looks like. Seneca once said, "We suffer more in imagination than in reality. Most of what unsettles us is not the event itself. It's the fear of it, the projection, the assumptions we attach to it." A powerful mind doesn't run wild with panic. It sits with the situation and meets it as it is. You do not gain stability by controlling life. You gain it by controlling your judgments. Every day offers a new challenge, and in every challenge lies an opportunity to anchor yourself deeper, to respond instead of react, to observe instead of explode. Life will never be without problems. That is the nature of existence, to be constantly tested, stretched, and called to evolve. Each day presents a fresh invitation to grow, to adapt, to demonstrate your character. Some challenges will be small and passing, little storms that come and go without much damage. Others may be deep, enduring, and shake you to your core. But no matter the shape or size, they will come, one way or another. Yet the more you practice calm, the more you train yourself to meet life rather than resist it. You stop wishing for ease and start preparing for excellence. You begin to recognize that peace is not found in a problem-free life, but in a problem-resilient mind, a mind fortified by clarity, strengthened by self-awareness, and guided by virtue. When you meet each obstacle not with panic, but with presence, you weaken its grip over you. You refuse to let it dictate your actions or emotions. You become the one who sets the tone for your internal world. The storms may rage outside, financial setbacks, betrayals, heartbreaks, failures, but inside there can still be clarity, focus, and peace. This is not detachment, it is strength. It is what allows you to walk through fire without being consumed by it. Calm is not passivity, it is deliberate mastery, forged in daily discipline. Each time you choose calm, you are building a fortress inside yourself. Each time you choose calm, you are choosing power. You are building a sanctuary within that cannot be invaded by external chaos, no matter how loud, no matter how fierce. And the longer you live this way, the more natural it becomes. At first, it may feel forced. You may have to remind yourself 100 times a day to return to calm. You may stumble, you may react, but slowly, over time, it becomes instinct. You begin to feel it in your bones, that clarity, that composure, that inner balance. You don't have to fake peace, you embody it. It radiates from you not because you pretend, but because you've earned it through presence, through practice, through pain. Problems no longer dictate your mood or identity. You don't collapse at the first sign of adversity. You don't define yourself by what happens to you, but by how you respond. They become opportunities, opportunities to demonstrate discipline, to refine your virtue, and to anchor yourself deeper into reason. You stop seeing life as something to survive and start seeing it as something to shape, intentionally, courageously, consciously. In this way, the calm you cultivate becomes your power. It becomes the very ground beneath your feet, the rhythm in your breath, the stillness behind your eyes. It shields your focus like armor, not allowing the noise of the world to pierce your clarity. It guards your energy like a disciplined soldier, only spending what is essential, never leaking it into distraction or drama. It steadies your mind like the roots of an ancient oak that has survived every season and storm, that knows the winds come and go, but the ground remains. Problems still come, but they do not rule you, they reveal you. They strip away the unnecessary, leaving only what's real, what's essential, what's eternal. When the world shakes, it is not the polished surface that endures, it is the solid foundation. And problems, no matter how painful or disorienting, force us to inspect that foundation. They uncover the cracks we've ignored. They challenge the stories we've told ourselves. They tear away illusion and demand honesty. They show you who you are, not the curated image, but the deeper self beneath the roles, the masks, and the expectations. And they show you who you're becoming, offering a mirror, however uncomfortable, that reflects your growth, your values, your response. In facing them, you become sharper. You grow more deliberate. You walk a clearer path. The distractions that once pulled at you fade. The noise that once clouded you quiets. In that hardship, your character is carved. Your virtues, patience, discipline, humility, courage, are not just discussed, but embodied. They awaken the hidden strength within you, not the kind you access only when things are easy, but the strength that emerges when you think you can't go on, and then you do. The strength that comes from rising, from enduring, from standing tall when it would be easier to crumble. And that, more than any external victory, is where true power resides. Not in being untouched by life, not in pretending everything is okay, but in meeting life as it is and rising through it again and again with dignity, clarity, and quiet fire. That is the power that no one can give you and no one can take away. It is yours alone, earned through your trials, sealed in your silence, and expressed in how you carry yourself forward. In moments of stress, say to yourself, "This is only a test." Remind yourself that this tension, this pressure, this discomfort, it's all part of your training. It's a rehearsal for the kind of person you're becoming. Then ask, "How would the best version of myself respond right now?" Picture that version of yourself, calm, composed, thoughtful, and step into their shoes. Feel their breath, their pace, their patience. Give yourself 10 seconds of breath before you speak or act. Not just as a pause, but as a reset, a sacred intermission where your higher self has the chance to rise above impulse. Let this time become your practice field, 10 seconds that represent the bridge between reaction and reason. With each breath, let your body settle like water in a still pond. Let your thoughts slow down from frantic to focused. Let your heart soften from pressure to presence. This moment isn't wasted. It's a seed planted in the soil of wisdom. Create that space between impulse and action where wisdom can enter. It is in that space that clarity can speak, where emotion transforms into intention. Those 10 seconds may feel small, even insignificant in the moment, but over time, they shape everything. They train your nervous system. They teach you patience. They build a rhythm in your life that others will feel, even if they don't know why. They will build a life of wisdom, not by accident, but by conscious effort repeated across thousands of moments. Each time you take that breath, you are reminding yourself, "I am not my anger. I am not my fear. I am the one who chooses what to do with them." A life where stress becomes your teacher, not your tyrant. A life where tension becomes your training ground. And you, through each decision, each breath, become the student who grows into the teacher. The one who chooses strength over struggle, clarity over chaos, and power over panic. That is what you're building, moment by moment, breath by breath. Chapter 3. Speak like a sage. Words hold power, far more than most realize. They can destroy trust or build empires. They can start wars or heal hearts. They can spark revolutions, mend families, uplift the broken, or crush the hopeful. The Stoics were masters of measured speech. They knew that to speak wisely is to live wisely, and that language is not simply a form of expression, but a mirror of the mind. Epictetus warned, "Let silence be your goal for the most part. Say only what is necessary and be brief about it." Why? Because careless words are like arrows shot in the dark. They wound without intent. They create chaos where there could be clarity. The wise hold their tongue until their thoughts are ready. They know that silence is never wasted when it is purposeful. Too often we speak to fill silence, to impress others, to gain approval, to escape awkwardness, or to defend our pride. We use words as shields, as distractions, as props in performances we think we must give. But a person who walks with power speaks with purpose. They understand that not every silence needs to be broken, and not every opinion must be voiced. They speak when their words can build something: clarity, connection, courage. They do not gossip because they know the price of cheap talk, how it diminishes both the speaker and the subject. They do not shout because they understand that truth doesn't need volume, it carries its own gravity. They do not lie to avoid discomfort because they know that momentary ease is a poor trade for long-term integrity. Every word you say is a reflection of your discipline. It is a signature of your mind. It is the shape of your thoughts pressed into the world. Words can set the tone of a room, steer the course of a relationship, shape the inner world of the listener. They carry the echo of your emotional state, your values, and your self-awareness. What you say is not just about communication, it's about legacy. Your words, even the ones spoken casually, become seeds. Some will bloom into trust, compassion, and clarity. Others may wither into resentment, division, or regret. Choose them with care. Speak not to impress, but to express truth. Speak not to control, but to connect. Speak not from ego, but from understanding. Your speech should be clean, not cluttered with anxiety or pretense. It should be rooted in what matters, not tangled in what's trending. Ask yourself, am I saying this to serve the moment or to serve my image? The answer will reveal your motive, and that motive, whether it stems from wisdom or insecurity, will determine the effect your words leave behind. Words should never be used as a mask or as ammunition. They should be guided by reason and shaped by compassion. A Stoic does not weaponize words. They use them as tools to build bridges, not burn them, to sow peace, not stir conflict, to elevate dialogue, not degrade it. They understand that words are not neutral. They carry weight, consequence, and energy. Every utterance is a transaction, a reflection of character and judgment. They do not rely on noise to gain attention. They trust the substance of silence and the clarity of a well-placed phrase. They understand that restraint is not weakness, but strength, and that sometimes the most impactful voice is the quiet one grounded in truth. And so the powerful choose their words slowly, wisely, and with deep respect for their impact. They take their time before they speak, understanding that a rushed response may be more about emotion than clarity. They measure not just the logic of their words, but their tone, their timing, and their necessity. They are patient with their language, understanding that a pause can often say more than a flood of speech. Their silence is not hesitation, it is consideration. They seek clarity over cleverness, sincerity over performance, meaning over momentum. They know that each word holds a piece of their character. A well-spoken phrase can guide a friend through darkness. A careless one can destroy years of trust. They weigh their speech like a craftsman selects his tools, mindfully, precisely, and with intention. And so they speak with the intention to heal, to uplift, to instruct, and when needed, to remain silent. Because sometimes silence is the wisest word of all. Sometimes it is the most courageous. In silence, there is restraint, dignity, and strength. Silence is not the absence of words, but the presence of depth. And it is from that silence that the most meaningful words are born. Words that are deliberate, rare, and wrapped in wisdom, not ego. Chapter 4. Power in stillness, not rush. In a world addicted to speed, stillness is a power move. It defies the culture of urgency. It stands in contrast to the noise and haste that dominate modern life. The Stoics practiced stillness not as passivity, but as mastery, a form of mental and emotional control rooted in awareness. They understood that the frantic rush of the world was often a symptom of fear. Fear of missing out, fear of inadequacy, fear of silence itself. But the person who is calm, deliberate, unhurried, that person carries true power. Their presence speaks louder than noise, and their clarity cuts through confusion. Stillness is not a withdrawal from life, but a deeper engagement with it. Marcus Aurelius ruled the Roman Empire, yet amid the burden of that power, he still carved time each morning to write, to reflect, to return to himself. That's not weakness, that's strength, that's leadership of the highest kind. His stillness was not inaction, but intention, a quiet discipline that made him more capable, more aware, more effective. In his stillness, he accessed his own wisdom and shaped his empire with thoughtfulness rather than haste. When you move through life with stillness, you don't miss your own wisdom. you begin to hear the internal compass that modern distractions try to mute. You don't skip the quiet cues of your conscience. You respond instead of react. You don't drown in distractions or get swept away by temporary emotions. You stay centered, not because life isn't chaotic, but because you've chosen to anchor yourself in something deeper. Stillness is not about inactivity. It's about presence, about being so deeply rooted in awareness that your actions arise from intention, not impulse. It's not about doing less, but about doing what matters most, with your full attention. It's about doing things with care, with thoughtfulness, and with a clear mind that is not muddled by distractions or driven by the anxious push of time. In a world obsessed with urgency, choosing stillness is an act of resistance. It's an act of self-respect. It's about doing things with intention and clarity rather than speed and noise. When you live with stillness, you're not sluggish, you are focused. You don't abandon movement, you refine it. You become efficient without being frantic, productive without being hurried. You align your energy with your purpose, not with pressure. You can move quickly, but still move from stillness, like an archer who draws the bow only after steadying their breath. Every action becomes more powerful because it comes from your center, not your chaos. You can lead with decisiveness, yet remain composed. You don't have to yell to be heard, nor rush to be effective. Stillness brings gravity to your presence. People feel your calm, and it becomes a stabilizing force. In meetings, in conflict, in moments of crisis, your steadiness becomes your signal. It tells others that you are not reactive. You are reliable. You are grounded. Stillness is a state of mind, not just a pace of life. It is an internal command, a quiet confidence that does not crumble under pressure. It is the ability to remain calm in motion, focused in noise, and thoughtful in action. It gives you the space to choose rather than react, to observe rather than absorb. And in that stillness lies your greatest strength, the power to lead yourself with clarity through a world that has lost its way. It is in that stillness that you rediscover your power, your values, your voice. And once you move from that space, everything you do carries meaning. Start and end your day with 10 minutes of silence. No phone, no agenda. Just sit and breathe. Let your thoughts settle. Ask, what truly matters today? Then act from that center. Chapter 5. Carrying pain with grace. Everyone experiences pain, but not everyone carries it the same way. Some collapse beneath it, others try to escape it, but a few, the ones who truly walk with power, use it as a catalyst. The Stoics didn't deny pain, they embraced it. They studied it, observed it, learned from it. They saw it not as an enemy, but as a tutor with a difficult curriculum. They understood that pain is the test life gives to reveal your depth, your values, and your true strength. They used it. They saw it as fuel for growth, for purification, for elevation. Seneca wrote, "Difficulties strengthen the mind as labor does the body. Just as a muscle must tear before it grows, your spirit must sometimes ache before it ascends." Your suffering is not a sentence. It's a sculptor. It's not punishment, but process. It's shaping you, refining you, pushing you into the raw, unpolished version of who you are meant to become. And if you carry it with grace, if you hold your head high while your heart breaks, if you meet it with courage instead of complaint, you emerge stronger, not in spite of your pain, but because of it. You transform that pain into wisdom, into compassion, into quiet confidence. To walk with power is not to avoid hardship. It is not to wish away difficulty or pretend everything is fine. It's to face it upright, eyes clear, heart open. It's to meet the sting of loss, the weight of failure, the heat of disappointment, and to stand anyway. It's to know that pain is part of the process, not a detour, but part of the road that leads to resilience. It's to understand that without pain, growth has no roots, meaning has no gravity, depth has no chance. You don't have to smile through agony. You don't have to pretend it doesn't hurt or wear a mask of cheerfulness when your heart is aching. There is no strength in denying the weight you carry, but there is great strength in how you carry it. You must walk through it with dignity. You must let the pain walk beside you, not as your master, but as your guide. Let it whisper truths you would never have heard in comfort. Let it carve wisdom into your character. Let it deepen your compassion for others walking their own silent battles. Pain can be the quiet hand on your shoulder that turns you toward what matters most. Let pain teach you, not define you. Let it challenge you to rise, not cause you to shrink. Let it shape you into someone who has not only endured, but learned, matured, and transcended. Let it press your values into reality and polish your potential into power. Pain sharpens what is vague. It brings urgency to the soul and precision to the mind. It exposes what we truly believe and what we only pretended to believe. It shows you where your strength lives and where your boundaries truly lie. Let it remind you of your strength, not your limits. Let it help you uncover the hidden well of persistence and patience buried within. Let it open you to the inner fortitude that is often dormant until life draws it out. Because every scar tells a story, and every wound endured is a badge of your becoming. They are not marks of weakness. They are proof that you stood when you could have fallen, that you chose courage over escape, that you didn't flinch from truth or retreat from challenge. They're not just reminders of pain, they're monuments to your power. Pain doesn't make you powerless. It transforms your relationship to power. It teaches you to find strength in places you didn't know existed, in silence, in stillness, in solitude, and in surrender. It brings you to the very edge of your strength and dares you to go further. It stretches your spirit, expands your heart, and forces your soul to deepen. It pushes you into the raw, real place within yourself where truth lives, the place untouched by ego or illusion, where masks fall and only what's real remains. It reveals what matters. It reorders your priorities. It strips away the excess. It makes you humble. It makes you aware. It slows you down long enough to listen deeply, to feel honestly, and to remember what you may have forgotten in comfort. Your courage, your essence, your calling. And in that space, if you stay long enough, you'll find a resilience that cannot be taken from you. It is not built on denial or pretense. It is built on facing what is hard, holding what is heavy, and continuing anyway. It reveals the power that's been in you all along, quiet, enduring, and ready. Not the power that shouts, but the power that stands. Not the kind that dominates, but the kind that endures. It is a sacred fire. It is the forge of your character. It is the invisible training ground of the soul. And when you rise from it, you rise different. You rise wiser, quieter, more deliberate. You rise with a presence that no ease or comfort could have ever given you. A presence that speaks before you open your mouth. A presence that inspires, uplifts, and transforms not only your life, but the lives around you. That is the legacy of pain endured with grace. It becomes the foundation of power walked with wisdom. Each time you feel pain, emotional, physical, or spiritual, write down what it is teaching you. What part of you is being strengthened? What false belief is being burned away? Use your journal as your forge. Chapter 6. The Power of Presence Over Perfection. We live in a world obsessed with perfection, polished lives, curated images, filtered truths. But the Stoics weren't interested in perfection. They were interested in presence. They knew that power doesn't come from being flawless. It comes from being real, from being grounded in the moment, from being fully here. Perfection is an illusion that leads to paralysis. When you chase it, you become more focused on appearance than substance, on approval than integrity. You second-guess yourself. You hide your flaws. You begin to believe that you are only worthy when you are impressive. But the Stoic sees through this trap. They know that true strength comes not from being ideal, but from being honest. Honest with yourself and with others. Presence is power. It is the full arrival of your attention, your breath, your awareness into the moment you're living. It's not just a physical nearness, but a spiritual readiness. It's the difference between glancing and seeing, between hearing and listening, between touching and feeling. When you are fully engaged in the moment, you cannot be shaken by comparison or insecurity, because your focus is no longer turned outward. It is turned inward, centered on what matters most. You do not fear failure because you are too focused on the task at hand to entertain doubt. You are immersed in the doing, not tangled in the outcome. You are free of the mental fog that results from overanalysis and self-consciousness. You do not worry about who is watching because your energy is not divided between performance and purpose. Presence strips away anxiety and replaces it with clarity, because you are no longer living in the future or trapped in the past. It brings you back to now, this breath, this decision, this single unfolding second. It gives your actions weight, intentional, anchored, meaningful. It makes your voice stronger because it flows from a place of alignment. It makes your intentions pure because they are no longer filtered through the need to please, impress, or conform. It's what transforms effort into art, routine into ritual. Presence isn't just a soft trait. It is sharp, alert, responsive. It allows you to move with intelligence and intuition, grounded in the truth of what's in front of you. To walk with power, stop seeking to be impressive and start striving to be present. The world will try to sell you perfection, but what it needs is people who are truly here. Perfection is hollow, presence is whole. When you are present, you show up to your own life fully, unapologetically, and without reservation. You don't just exist, you participate. You don't coast through life half aware. You step into it with your eyes and your heart open. You stop drifting and start deciding. You notice the details others overlook, the subtle shifts in a friend's tone, the feel of the ground beneath your feet, the quiet lessons hidden in daily moments. You feel the textures of your emotions and surroundings. You learn not just from books or lectures, but from the way life unfolds around you. You grow by paying attention. You engage with the world as it is, not as a critic or performer, but as a participant who knows that real growth happens here, in this moment, not in the imagined future. You stop performing and start living. You stop editing yourself to match expectations and start trusting yourself to meet life authentically. You stop fearing mistakes and start honoring the process. That is the real power of presence. It roots you in what's real, and what's real is always enough. And from that rooted place, you move through the world not with pretense, but with peace, not with armor, but with awareness. That is where your strength lives. Choose one daily activity, eating, walking, speaking with a friend, and do it with your full presence. No multitasking, no distractions. Notice how different the experience becomes when you're truly there. Then apply that same presence to your challenges. Show up fully. You don't have to be perfect, you just have to be here. Chapter 7: The Discipline of Self-Restraint. To walk with power is to understand the art of holding back. It is to master the tension between urge and wisdom. The Stoics valued discipline not as a punishment, but as a form of liberation, a gateway to inner peace and unwavering direction. Self-restraint is not self-denial, it is self-command. It is the deep strength that comes from knowing yourself so well that you no longer need to prove anything to anyone. It is knowing when to speak and when to stay silent, when to act and when to wait. It is choosing not to be pulled by every impulse or enslaved by every desire. It is power disguised as patience. The world often equates power with indulgence, more possessions, more attention, more control. But the Stoic sees excess as a trap. The more you chase, the more you are chased by fear. Fear of losing what you've acquired, fear of not having enough. True power comes from the ability to say no, the ability to delay gratification, the ability to choose what is right over what is easy, to walk away from comfort when growth demands discomfort. Power is not found in domination, but in discernment, in the quiet pause before action, in the courage to walk alone when the crowd rushes blindly forward. Epictetus said, "Freedom is the only worthy goal in life." But freedom, he taught, is not the absence of limits, it's the mastery of one's inner life. It is the deep independence that comes from governing your mind, your cravings, your reactions. It's not about doing whatever you want, whenever you want. It's about being able to choose wisely, even when your impulses scream otherwise. This freedom is not flashy, but it is unshakable. It gives you the strength to hold still when the world demands you flinch. It gives you the power to carry calm through chaos. When you can govern yourself, you need nothing from anyone else, not validation, not permission, not applause. You are no longer a puppet of external events, no longer tossed around by the winds of public opinion or personal temptation. You become your own authority, calm, decisive, and immovable. You become a fortress in motion. Self-restraint builds integrity. It teaches patience in a world obsessed with immediacy. It cultivates clarity in a world clouded by noise. It deepens your awareness of how each decision aligns with your values. It sharpens your ability to choose what aligns with your highest principles, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's unpopular. You begin to act from principle rather than emotion. You begin to live by design, not by default. You become the author of your own rhythm rather than a reactor to someone else's urgency. Your life becomes intentional. Your words become fewer but deeper. Your movements carry meaning and presence. That is real power, not in loud declarations, not in lavish displays, but in the silent strength of someone who could indulge, but chooses not to. Someone who could retaliate, but instead responds with grace. Someone who doesn't need the spotlight, because their light comes from within. Because they know who they are and what they stand for. And no amount of external pressure can make them forget. Begin with one small discipline. Maybe it's choosing not to check your phone for the first hour of your day. Maybe it's speaking one less word in a conversation. Maybe it's walking away from an argument you don't need to win. Practice saying no, not to punish yourself, but to prove to yourself that you are in command. Chapter 8. Hold the line, the power of boundaries. To walk with power is to know where you begin and where you end. The Stoics knew that the strength of a person is often found not in what they do, but in what they refuse to allow. Boundaries are not walls, they are doors with locks. They are not about isolation, but about self-respect. When you set boundaries, you do not push others away. You simply honor your own values, your own peace, and your own responsibilities. Power begins with knowing that you are the guardian of your own energy, and that means protecting it fiercely and consistently. It means recognizing that your mental, emotional, and spiritual energy are not infinite. They must be guarded like a sacred flame. That means deciding what you allow into your life, who has access to your time, your emotions, and your attention. It's not selfish, it's responsible. You are not obligated to carry what depletes you, nor are you required to give your energy to things that don't align with your purpose. When you lack boundaries, the world will decide for you. You will be pulled in every direction by other people's needs, opinions, and expectations. You will be overextended, overcommitted, and quietly resentful. Your time won't feel like your own. Your mind will always be scattered. Your heart will carry weight that doesn't belong to it. But when you hold the line, when you say no with grace and yes with intention, you reclaim your power. You shift from living reactively to living deliberately. You begin to feel the quiet strength that comes from living in alignment with your own values. You start to build a life that reflects who you are, rather than one shaped by the demands of everyone else. Boundaries also make relationships stronger, not weaker. They create space for clarity, for mutual respect, for trust to grow. When people know where your line is, they can meet you there with intention. They don't have to guess. They don't have to push. Boundaries teach others how to treat you, not through force, but through consistency. You show up as someone who respects themselves, and that signals to others to do the same. And most importantly, they teach you how to treat yourself with patience, with discipline, and with deep self-worth. Boundaries are not just about others. They are the ultimate expression of inner order, of walking with your own compass firmly in hand. Write down three boundaries you need to set, one physical, one emotional, and one digital. Then write down the reason each one matters to your well-being. Begin practicing them today with calm firmness. You are not being harsh, you are being clear. And clarity is power. Chapter 9. Endure with grace. Life will test you. It will hand you pain, loss, uncertainty, and how you carry those burdens defines the shape of your power. The Stoics taught that suffering is not optional, but self-pity is. Endurance is not about suppressing emotion, it's about transforming it into something meaningful. Marcus Aurelius endured war, plague, and betrayal, but he wrote not with bitterness, but with compassion and wisdom. Why? Because he understood that adversity was his training ground. He saw hardship as a sculptor, not an enemy. And through that lens, he endured with grace. To endure is to accept reality without surrendering your spirit. It's to walk forward even when the ground is shaking, and to keep your posture when the wind threatens to knock you down. It's to hold your values firm when your world feels fragile, to keep your inner compass steady even as everything around you shifts and falls away. It's not dramatic, it's not showy. Power is not loud in these moments. It's quiet, it's humble, it's sacred. It is the type of strength that speaks through silence, that radiates through consistency, that reveals itself when no one else is watching. It's a quiet refusal to quit, a grounded insistence on holding the line. Endurance builds credibility because it is lived proof. It's not theoretical strength, it's tested in the furnace of life. It's the kind of power that cannot be faked because it is only born through experience, through staying in the fire long enough to be refined rather than consumed. Endurance reveals the layers of your character that comfort can never touch. It is forged when your plans fall apart, but your integrity remains intact. It is shaped in the dark nights, when your doubts scream louder than your dreams, but you keep going anyway. It strengthens resolve by asking you, again and again, to recommit to your path despite difficulty. It whispers, when everything feels heavy, that your next step still matters. It reminds you that quitting is always an option, but so is persistence. And in choosing to stay, to try, to trust your values over your feelings, you grow. You stretch into the space that hardship carved out for you. It calls you back to your principles when you are tempted to stray, when the easier route is dressed in glitter but leads nowhere real. It reminds you that what you carry does not define you, how you carry it does. Whether your burden is regret, responsibility, sorrow, or sacrifice, the way you hold it shapes the person you become. Pain may visit, failure may knock, grief may settle in, but how you respond will always be your own. And that response, courageous, calm, consistent, becomes your signature in the world. And when you learn to endure, when you stay standing after everything has tried to make you kneel, when you return each day to your purpose with an open heart and unshaken resolve, you become someone others can lean on. You become a foundation, not just for others, but for yourself. A steady force, a quiet warrior, a living example that strength is not just about force. It's about faithfulness to what matters most. It's about staying true when the path disappears and still moving forward with dignity and fire. Think of a challenge you're facing. Instead of asking, "Why is this happening to me?" ask, "How can I grow from this?" Change the story. Make endurance your strength. Let your pain forge your presence, not your bitterness. Chapter 10. The walk of power is the walk of wisdom. To walk with power is not to intimidate, it is to illuminate. It is to shine a steady light in places that have gone dark with doubt, fear, or confusion. It is to inspire without force, to uplift without control. It is to be a living example of discipline, clarity, presence, and love, so unmistakably consistent that your very existence becomes a lesson. The Stoics never sought to conquer people, they sought to conquer themselves. They didn't need to control others because they had learned to command their own soul. And through that inner mastery, they influenced the world, not by force, but by force of character. They demonstrated that the most powerful person is not the one who controls others, but the one who has learned to govern themselves, who has trained their impulses and aligned their life with their highest values. Power is not granted, it is earned, day by day, choice by choice, through your actions, through your consistency, through your character, through your principles upheld when no one is watching. It is built not in loud declarations, but in quiet, daily devotion to what matters. It is not about dominating others, but about being undominated by life. Not about always being strong, but about never being broken by circumstance. True power is demonstrated in how you carry yourself when things fall apart, how you speak when emotions are high, how you choose the harder path when the easy one compromises your integrity. It is in how you stand when it would be easier to collapse. It is in how you forgive when it would be easier to seek revenge. It is in how you stay kind, not because others deserve it, but because you refuse to become bitter. The walk of power is a walk of wisdom. It's a path you choose every single day, moment by moment, with each step and each breath. It is in how you rise from setbacks, not just once, but repeatedly. It is in how you speak when it's easier to stay silent, and in how you stay silent when it's tempting to speak from ego or anger. It's how you respond to chaos without becoming it, without matching the noise, but instead bringing your calm. It's how you remain steady in storms that others panic in, not because you're numb, but because you've built a foundation that doesn't crack easily. It is not a walk of perfection. It is a walk of progress, paved with the humility to learn and the courage to keep going. Wisdom leads to composure. Composure leads to clarity. Clarity leads to powerful action. And clarity gives you the ability to lead, not others necessarily, but always yourself. And in leading yourself, your mind, your mood, your mission, you often end up guiding others without even trying. Not with force, but with presence. Not with noise, but with truth. People feel the integrity of someone who walks this path. It radiates in how they hold space, how they listen, how they choose what to do and what to let go of. It can't be faked. It doesn't shout. It simply shows up, quietly, again and again, like the sun rising, steady, faithful and powerful, without asking for applause. You may not be able to control the world. You may not be able to predict what happens around you, but you can control how you walk through it. That walk, steady, thoughtful, firm and kind, is what real power looks like. It's not always noticed at first, but it is always felt. It is not found in grand gestures, but in the small, consistent choices that no one else may see. It is not worn like a costume, it is lived like a vow, day after day, especially when it's hard. It is the strength that comes from knowing who you are at your core and choosing, again and again, to walk as that person no matter what the world throws your way. That walk transforms everything. It's how wisdom becomes visible in the flesh. It's how love becomes strength, not weakness. It's how discipline becomes freedom, not constraint. And it is how you, without needing to prove anything to anyone, become unstoppable, not by force, but by alignment with your highest self. Each morning, ask yourself, how will I walk today? Let that question guide your steps, your words, your decisions. Let your walk be your wisdom, and your wisdom be your strength.